We have with us right now the lovely Jesse Colder, and I am actually an old fan. I go back to the days of I'm Not Lisa.
Oh, my gosh. When I was the first girl painted on the side of the Whiskey a Go-Go. I mean, that was new advertisement in those days.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Boston area.
Pardon me?
In the Boston area.
Oh, Boston.
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm in Nashville.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to Nashville, but I need to go there one of these days.
Where are you from?
I'm from Boston area.
You're from there?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know you're there right now. Okay,
yeah.
You almost sounded English for a minute.
Well, I could if I want to be, but I'm not. But I can put on any accent there is, but
oh, really?
that's just me, though.
Oh, my gosh.
So let's find out about you. Now,
okay.
You were actually, before you were Jesse Colter, you were Miriam Johnson.
Yes.
And you're from Phoenix.
Yes.
So by the time I got to Phoenix, my name was Jesse Colter. I don't know. But
really?
No. So tell us a little bit about the metamorphosis of Miriam Johnson, because it came at a young age. You performed at a very young age.
Yes, and of course Miriam is my name, and I use it for a number of purposes. But actually, Chet Atkins was instrumental in changing my name. When Chet and Waylon were recording an album called, let's see, A Country Star Is Born, or something like that. I'm trying to remember the name of that album. Great cover. But anyway, when he did it, he says, you know, because I was divorcing Dwayne, and so my name was Eddie at the time, and I said, I just don't know quite what.
Well, we skipped over a little bit there. Let's talk before we get into Jesse, because, yeah, not Jesse, you are Jesse. Before we get into Waylon, let's talk a little bit about, you were a teenager musical prodigy, and you had a single in 1961 when you were 14 called Lonesome Road that Dwayne Eddy produced for you. And then 2 years later, when you were 16, you married Dwayne Eddy.
Well, you know what? I've lost track of numbers. I don't really count. But the truth is, we went on the road. I'd graduated and went on the road, and he featured me, and I was in great company, great musicians. Larry Nechtel, who later was the beginning of Bread, and Jim Horn, who still is an incredible horn player out there, working for the Rolling Stones and everybody else. And so went on the road. I had great first experiences and have been very blessed, and am still being blessed. So it's been a long haul, but seems
well, you
like
actually wrote some, you wrote some of the songs on his album at the time, on Dwayne Eddy's album.
Yes.
And did a song that Dottie West did called No Sign for the Living, and
yes,
you and Eddie did Guitar on My Mind, and
yes,
and then of course a couple years later you married Waylon Jennings in 1969 at your mom's church. It's interesting, your mom is an ordained Pentecostal minister.
Yes, she is, and I don't know where that came from. That I was not married in the church. I was married in a Las Vegas courthouse.
Oh, okay. Well, see,
but
bio is all wrong.
Yes, I know it's probably part of it, mostly wrong. I'm not sure, but anyway, my mother was a wonderful woman of God. She was a servant of the Lord in the sense that she was healed of tuberculosis and then became a minister in the, I think, early 30s or late 20s. I'd have to go back and check. And she just followed the New Testament and had a great relationship and operated the gifts of the New Testament. And I was raised in that. And you just, by osmosis, you know, absorb so much. And even though I had to go find my own, builds into you a great wall against, you know, the disappointments in life. You have to have a strong foundation, I think, to really stand. So I'm so grateful for her and my early life. It trained me
Yep.
to stay strong.
Yeah, I wanted to go back a little bit. 1975. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was in college and I was working at the radio station, and I remember Capitol Records sending this record in. Jesse Coulter, and one of the songs on it was called "I'm Not Lisa."
Yeah,
that was a huge, huge hit, and I'm just wondering how that might have changed your life. Did it change it at all?
Yes, it did. It threw me back at first. I thought, you know, what is it, hearing the echo of your name? What does this mean? And I just had a sense that you stay close to your roots at a time like that, because it did rock me. And you stay close to your roots. You understand that these are relationships that have come through them relating to something you've done, said, sung, you know, and that you treat it with politeness. But it's different than a family or a friend relationship, you know. It's different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A year after that, in 1976, one of the breakthrough albums of country music came out, Wanted, the Outlaws, which was Waylon and Willie and a bunch of people, Glazer, all getting together, and it was a breakthrough album that was a huge success that sold 1 million copies.
Album, realizing what we sold, and we met with some of the men who worked out in the field during that time in the last years of Waylon's life, and they told us that they could not produce. They had to hire and hire and hire men to produce the production of that record. They weren't even ready. You know, the industry wasn't ready to make that many records.
Yeah.
Gifted man and a maestro that it was easy to believe in and follow, because his creativity never stopped. You know, never stopped.
So in the 90s, you kind of changed course a little bit, got out of pop music, and began writing and performing children's music.
You know, I did that. Barb and Greg Hall are wonderful producers from Canada. They also have done a biography on other films, but they asked me to do it, and I wasn't sure, but I thought, oh, this could be great, because these were songs that were most recognized around the world in different countries, and I actually wanted to learn them, because I love the children's lullabies and all, and it was quite a trip, having in your audience 2 to 4 year olds. They're kind of like little kitties and dogs. They act like they're not listening. Mm. And then they've memorized your song.
Right.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not like your audience that are sitting there, you think they're listening.
Right.
So I did that, and it was a great, you know, great learning to do it. That was it. It wasn't a really marvelous children's album as well. I directed it at 4-year-olds called Cowboys Rascals. Let's see. Cowboys Rascals. Well, anyway, he did that.
Well, Waylon had a live album in 2000 that you actually performed on and sang on. And also, folks out there should know that there's a Capitol Records respective out there called The Very Best of Jesse Coulter, an outlaw, a lady, which is available in record stores and online. But I wanted to talk to you about a new CD that's out. It's called Waylon Jennings Going Down Rockin', The Last Recordings. Tell us a little bit about how this came about.
Well, he just drove down to Robbie Turner's house, who's an extraordinary steel player and who had a studio, and said, I just want to put some songs down. And he put these songs down. And when I heard the final mixes on these, I was shocked because it sounds like Waylon is in your room. And at once you're just thrilled, and on the other hand, me, his widow, was taken aback. But I just went after it again and realized what a beautiful rendering it is 10 years after he's gone in the body. You can touch his spirit, and it's a beautiful work, and I'm hoping everybody will hear about it and enjoy it and just have a feeling of closeness to Waylon and the new songs he wrote, songs he wanted to revisit, and you know, you can get it everywhere that you should get a record, Walmart, Amazon. I would hope it'll be in Best Buy. I don't have the marketing plan in front of me right now.
I'm sure it's easily found. If you want to buy it, it's available. Robbie Turner really deserves a lot of credit because he finished all the tracks after Waylon was gone, and you also got to give kudos to Reggie Young and Richie Albright and guys like Tony Joe White, who put the music down.
Absolutely. Yeah. He did an incredible job.
Waylon had an amazing career. I mean, he had 11 number one albums on the country chart, 16 number one singles, 54 produced albums that charted, 100 singles that made the pop charts, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2001, the Country Music Hall of Fame. So quite an amazing career that will continue with this release.
I know. I'm very excited and very happy, and we just hope this will be the breakthrough for more things to come.
Yep. Well, now, what about you? Are you still recording? You still writing?
I have 3 projects that should happen in the next year. Marty Stewart is going to cut an album with me. Shooter is cutting an album, and I have an album that I've already started, Psalms, the Psalms album with Lenny Kaye. And so hopefully you'll be hearing more of me soon.
Tell us a little bit about Shooter.
Shooter is so incredibly gifted, as his father was, to make music out of nothing. And he is working so hard and making a great impact. He's got a video with Bucky Covington, The Drink Inside a Country, that's in the top charts. His Deed and Dollar made the top of the charts. He's out there touring. He's, as we speak, making a show for CMT where he has guests. And he'll be co-producing the movie about Waylon and involved in the writing and the casting and all that to come. We hope to have that, down here pretty quickly. And so he's very, very much like his father in the fact that he is a working man and excellent.
Well, what better to keep the Outlaw's name going than song named Shooter?
I know. Isn't that true? That's absolutely true. They're yelling at me on the other side of the window.
Yeah, I know. You got to go to another interview. Jesse, it was a pleasure talking to you, and maybe we'll get together again and talk about your next project when it's done.
Thank you so much for getting involved with this and knowing so much and sticking close to us. I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.